This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS. It's 11 o'clock, Tuesday, December 31st, 1945. This is Jack McKenna saying, Happy, Happy New Year. Lou Martin has the 11 o'clock news. We'll welcome 1946 with a look back on 1945 in news, sports, and at the box office.
I can't think of how a year could be more historic than 1945.
It was one long year, buddy. George G. Newton will be in, and we'll play Lou's favorite game, Stump the Listener.
Making 1945 all the longer.
And we've got a big announcement. It looks like the end of the Martin and McKenna Show.
It isn't definite yet.
So, a tearful last newscast by our red-headed newsman, brought to you by Ross Electric, which has the first shipment of Easy Spin Dryers. Ladies, and for that matter, guys like me, you can do a whole week's wash in an hour with a washer and damp dry spin. Happy New Year, Lou.
Happy New Year, Jack, and good listeners. The first tax cut in two decades begins tomorrow. A peace may be reached in China, and the Japanese emperor says he's not divine. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Washington, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Tomorrow, the government hands a $6 billion incentive to spend more and increase business activity. The 1946 tax law provides the first general tax cut since 1929. It was written to encourage spending in the reconversion to peacetime production. Federal officials forecast that it would bring a modest but noticeable upturn in the flow of civilian goods into the stores because producers will keep more of their profit from sales and pay less of it to Uncle Sam. This repeal of heavy excess profits tax allows individuals to benefit through cuts ranging from 100% for 12 million low-income persons to 10% or more for the average person. This will bolster purchasing power at a time when pay envelopes are getting thinner. Much of the reduction goes to the taxpayers in the lower-income classes. In the case of the 12 million people who will be excused from paying any tax at all, most of the savings will be spent for food. Food will be out of the scarcity class before automobiles and washing machines. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson, calling the Far East. Come in, Tokyo.
This is Tokyo. Daryl Berrigan reporting. Emperor Hirohito told the Japanese people today that there was a false conception that the emperor is divine, something no Japanese ruler through the centuries dared say before. In a New Year's speech that stripped aside all the awesome aura that has enveloped the imperial throne, the emperor of a beaten empire likewise informed his subjects that they were not destined to rule the world. Quoting the emperor, "We stand by the people and we wish always to share with them in their moments of joy and sorrows. The ties between us and our people have always stood with mutual trust and affection. They do not depend upon mere legends and myths. They are not predicated on the false conception that the emperor is divine and the Japanese people are superior to other races and are fated to rule the world," unquote. The emperor also used the word defeat for the first time. Quoting him again, "We feel deeply concerned to note that consequent upon the protracted war ending in our defeat, radical tendencies are spreading and a sense of morality tends to lose its hold on the people," unquote. In Tokyo, this is Daryl Berrigan, calling China. Come in, Chongqing. This is the Chinese capital of Chongqing. Mac Johnson here. The Chinese central government countered a communist plan for a truce by proposing to bring General George C. Marshall into the talks to stop hostilities here. The movement to bring the president's special envoy into the peace picture came as Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek made an outright bid to the communists to join a government that they thought would unify China. The government proposed that it and the communists appoint representatives to confer with General Marshall on ways to halt hostilities and restore communication. In a New Year's message to the Chinese people, Chiang Kai-shek announced he's ready to invite leaders of other political parties to take part in the government. Meanwhile, Koreans craving independence after nearly half a century as a colony of Japan were inflamed by the trusteeship rule by the United States, Russia, Britain, and China. Hotheads fought in the streets of Seoul and threw rocks at American soldiers in violent protest against the big three five-year trusteeship for their country. Right as speakers demanded immediate recognition of a Korean provincial government, calling for a strike of Koreans employed by the American military government and branded opponents of independence as traitors. American military authorities who control southern Korea ordered an 8 p.m. curfew. There was no report of reaction to the program in northern Korea, which is controlled by the Russians. In Chongqing, this is Mac Johnson. Calling Europe, come in West Germany.
This is partitioned Germany. Stan Turner at the Nuremberg trials. Adolf Hitler died hating the trio of Nazi big shots who once helped him try to rule the world. Hermann Göring, Heinrich Himmler, and Rudolf Hess. Among the most famous figures in the Hitler gang, only crippled little Paul Joseph Goebbels remained loyal to his Führer until the end. The other three were rubbed off the Nazi party list in disgrace. Hitler spent his final days in what Goebbels called a nightmare of treason, trying to perpetuate the Nazi legend. This picture of treachery and hatred among one-time cronies emerged from publication of Hitler's last state papers and personal will, written in the Berlin Chancellery on April 29, 1945, while Russian shells exploded outside. In measured words, Hitler wrote, "I expel from the party the names of Göring and Himmler. They have brought irreparable shame on Germany by negotiating secretly with the enemy." A few days ago, it was disclosed in Berlin that the name of Hess was stricken from the Nazi party list on October 17, 1942, more than a year after his flight to Britain. Hitler was so furious over the Hess flight that he was left speechless, Göring told Allied interrogators. The new documents released during the Nazi war crimes trial being held here disclosed that Hitler appointed Goebbels to head a last-ditch government of, quote, honorable men, and ordered him to leave Berlin to carry on the fight. Admiral Karl Dönitz, now on trial at the War Crimes Tribunal, was named president. Goebbels refused to leave Berlin. Instead, he poisoned himself, his wife, and their children. In a statement attached to Hitler's political testament, Goebbels refused to leave Hitler because, quoting now, "there must be some people to stay with him unconditionally until death," unquote. Hitler and Goebbels spent their final hours trying to perpetuate the Nazi doctrine that the Jews and their helpers caused the war and to establish propaganda in which National Socialism can be revived someday. In Nuremberg, this is Stan Turner reporting.
A 2-month strike of Greyhound bus line employees is over, but 500,000 workers remain on strike nationwide. United Auto Workers plan to ask General Motors to resume negotiations in their 41-day GM strike. Workers want a 30-cent-an-hour pay raise, but management walked out of talks last week, protesting the union's demands that they open their books. The CIO is disputing GM's contention that it can't afford the pay raise. Admiral Harold Stark declared that Admiral Husband Kimmel had adequate information to be on guard as commander in Hawaii before the 1941 Japanese attack. The 1941 Chief of Naval Operations took the witness stand as the Congressional Committee resumed its investigation into the December 7th attack on Pearl Harbor. Stark said that he sent Kimmel a letter saying that he had just talked with President Roosevelt and Secretary of State Cordell Hull, who both said that Japan may launch a surprise attack on the Hawaiian Islands. An additional 600,000 Army men and women will become eligible for immediate release. The War Department has reduced the points needed to leave the service to 50. The War Department has also announced that the number of combat divisions has been cut in half. Of the 89 divisions during wartime, 45 are inactive. 9 more will be inactivated by the end of March. KUWS Radio News Time is 11:10. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
These may be our last words from a sponsor. I'm feeling nostalgic. Well, here we go, folks. The first shipment of Easy Washers are here. at Ross Electric in Superior. It's true. Easy dealers now have easy spin dryers and are taking orders. A whole week's wash in less than an hour. One tub washes while the other spins damp dry. It's all in one unit. Things dry faster because the spin dryer gets up to 25% more water than any other washer. No increase in price. And the first shipment, as I said, of easy washers are here. You gotta check them out, ladies. And I thank you.
Almost 134,000 Wisconsinites have been released from the armed forces so far. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
It's a happy new year for soldiers let out of the service, but more remain in the military than have been let out. Since the Selective Service Registration began on September 16, 1940, mum's been the word on how many have signed up with Uncle Sam, at least until now. For the first time, we can report that 311,000 Wisconsin residents have served in the armed forces. More than a third of those men and women have been released at our home. Just as interesting is that 788,000 people aged 18 to 48 registered for the draft in Wisconsin, so less than half were accepted. Many were too old, but about 30,000 men got deferments so they could work on the farm. Being the largest county in upper Wisconsin, Douglas County had the most inductees. 5,400 residents served in the Second World War, and 2,300 of them have returned from the service. 3,600 enlisted or were drafted from Ashland County, 1,655 from Bayfield County, 1,200 from Iron County, 1,200 from Sawyer County, and 1,245 from Washburn County, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. The Superior School Board last night voted to allow Mrs. Joanne McGlone to continue to teach until the end of the school year, even though she recently was married. Superintendent Angus Rothwell was also told to begin looking for teacher replacements for the 1946-47 school year to replace married women teachers now in the system. Rothwell says the women that were hired on an emergency basis during the war, and since their husbands are returning from the war, many want to stop teaching. Now that the war is over, the policy of hiring only single women will be followed. 24-year-old Jack Tomlinson of Ashland admitted to police that he robbed the E.J. Bourne jewelry store Saturday night. Tomlinson is a parolee out of the Waupun State Prison. He created a one-man crime spree in Ashland, robbing the Bourne Jewelry Store of $1,500 in diamonds and jewelry, and burglarizing Ben and M's Tavern and Yellish Service Station on Vaughn Avenue. Wisconsin will blow the lid off of the first peacetime New Year's Eve tonight. John Powell reports from Madison.
All indications are that it will be the most hilarious and noisiest New Year's the state has experienced in its nearly 100-year history. Churches in various cities planned Watch Night and Sylvester Eve services for the devout and for those to whom the war's sacrifices are still too painfully felt. Alcoholics Anonymous will toast in 1946 with soda water and coffee in a celebration to be held at Oddfellows Hall in Milwaukee. AA is an organization of ex-drinkers who devote their spare time to persuading heavy drinkers to mend their habits. They promise plenty of food and dancing, but no intoxicating beverages. Wisconsin Tavern Keepers Association President Matt Yudovic protested the Office of Price Administration decree that no cover charges can be collected unless they were in effect during the week of April 4, 1943. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
Children in Norway are suffering through a cold, hard winter, and the Save the Children Federation in New York is asking for help. Mrs. Anna Wardman of Superior is leading the effort and asks that all donations be sent to the Christ Lutheran Church Norway Relief Fund. The war left lots of devastation throughout Norway, Jack.
Let's help out, Lou. There's no reason we can't get people to call in pledges for the Norwegian Relief Fund.
Your spontaneity is sometimes a big pain and sometimes it's downright impressive. Allow me to donate the first dollar.
Want a crowbar for that wallet of yours, Lou?
That's the big pain part.
Newsman Lou Martin, folks, generous to a fault, although rumored to be faulty in his generosity. Now our weather for this Monday night, December 31st, 1945. Fair and continued cold tonight. with a low of 3 below zero. Nuts. But cloudy tomorrow and not as cold, with a high near 25 degrees. Fairly balmy. Now, friends, as is our annual tradition, we begin by playing the top 10 songs of the year, as recorded by Brayman's Music in Superior. And sitting at number 10 is Tommy Dorsey, old TD, and his orchestra, with vocals by Frank Sinatra and Dolores, on the Martin and McKenna Goodbye 1945 show.
Oh, I love the kisses of Dolores.
Oh, I love her eyes.
Dolores. Not Marie or Emily or Doris.
None of them, but
holy my Dolores.
Just Dolores.
From a balcony above me, she whispers love me and throws a rose. Ah, but she is twice as lovely as the rose she throws. I would die to be with my Dolores.
To be near her eye,
Dolores. I was made to serenade Dolores.
Serenade her chorus after chorus.
Just imagine eyes like moonrise, a voice like music, lips like wine. What a break if I could make Dolores mine, all mine. Like wine. What a break if I could make Dolores
mine, all mine.
T.D. and Frank Sinatra with Dolores on station KUWS. Hey, friends, celebrate New Year's Eve at the Android Hotel. It isn't too late to stop in. There's music, dancing, and favors for just $2.50 a couple at the Android. I wonder what kind of favors they have in mind, Lou. Also wishing you a happy new year and inviting you to stop by tonight are the Viking, 1501 North 5th Street and QT Bar at 21st and Tower. Elmer Quist and Fred Thompson put the Q and T in the QT Bar. And the Club Superior is the place to go for the biggest night of the year, Club Superior, 1719 North 3rd Street. And Lou's in next with the biggest at the box office. I suspect Mae West would have to win one of those categories. On with the top 10 numbers from 1945. Here's Louis Jordan and Choo Choo Boogie on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Heading for the station with a pack on my back. I'm tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack, and pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jiboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, jiboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jiboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. destination, but alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. You take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situation from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chibooga, woo-woo. Boo boo chibooga, choo choo, choo choo chibooga. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Track, live the life of Riley in the beaten down shack. So when I hear a whistle, I can peep through the crack and watch the train a rolling when it's falling a jack. For I just love the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo choo, choo choo, chibooga. Woo woo, woo woo, chibooga. Choo choo, choo choo, chibooga. Take me right back to the track.
Jordan and Choo Choo Boogie on station KUWS. Now, Miss Harriet and Lou Martin are in with the box office hits of 1945. Hiya, Lou and Hare.
What's all this about you two quitting, Louis?
It probably won't happen. It's just something that Jack found out. It's a little troubling.
Do you call what I found out a little troubling? Huh. Why, it's awful. Just awful. We can't go on.
If it's true, and if it happens.
I'll prove it to you, but you've got some big news about movie stars. Lou loves doing his Hedda Hopper routine.
Not Hedda Hopper. Walter Winchell, if you don't mind. Hedda Hopper. Bing Crosby's crooning and easy acting enticed more money out of the moviegoers' pockets than any other star in 1945. It was the second straight triumph for Hollywood's leading man. But wait, don't look over your shoulder, Der Bingle. You've got company. Freckle-faced idol of the Bobby Soxers, Van Johnson, was right behind Crosby. The nationwide squealing boosted Van Johnson into second place, even though he didn't make the top 25 last year.
Van Johnson? He couldn't act his way out of a paper bag.
Jack!
Well, he couldn't.
The 1945 motion picture Harold Pohl named the third biggest moneymaker as red-haired Greer Garson. She's been making the cash register jingle since 1942. And the lady with the legs, Betty Grable.
Louis!
Sorry. Miss Grable is in fourth place at the box office, although 2 years ago she was in first place among foxhole dwellers who made her the pinup girl of 1943. Grable was the first lady to grab the top spot since Marie Dressler, who had her merits, but not in the same parts as Betty Grable.
Allow me, Harriet. Louis.
I'm just doing the Hollywood thing. No one accused Hollywood of having scruples or being deep. Spencer Tracy has made the top 10 7 times, and 1945 was no different. What was different is that for the first time in the Herald's poll 14-year history, there was a tie. Spence was in 6th spot, tied with Silent Gary Cooper and Snarling Humphrey Bogart. Hats off to Snoop Nose, funny man Bob Hope. He spent so much time entertaining the troops that he only made one film. But that was enough to land him 7th on the list, just ahead of Judy Garland. She vaulted back into the list after a 3-year hiatus in Meet Me in St. Louis and her catchy trolley song.
Clang, clang, clang with the trolley. Ring, ring, ring with the bell.
I'm almost done here. Pigtail Margaret O'Brien popped up from the top 20 and became the first child star to crack the top 10 since Mickey Rooney and Shirley Temple. And finally, at number 10 was cowboy Roy Rogers and his trick horse, Trigger.
They've got a midnight showing of Don't Fence Me In with Roy Rogers and Trigger at the Beacon, boys. That'd be fun.
Is Gabby Hayes in that one, too?
So is Dale Evans and Bob Nolan and the Sons of the Pioneers. It'd be perfect.
All that in a cartoon, too. Wow. Thanks, Lou, Hedda Martin. Now, the eighth biggest song from the 1945 Hit Parade. Here's the Buddy Moreno Orchestra with vocals by Dick Juergens and One Dozen Roses on the Martin and McKenna New Year's Eve show.
Put my heart in beside them and send them to the one I love. She'll be glad to receive them, and I know she'll believe them. There's something we've been talking of. There may be orange blossoms later, kind of think that there will. For she's done something to me, and my heart won't keep still. So give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I love. Blossoms later, kind of think that there will. For she's done something to me, my heart won't keep still. So give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I love.
Buddy Moreno with Dick Juergens and One Dozen Roses on station KUWS.
We have Evening Telegram Labor Editor Jay Fisher with us. Good evening, sir.
Did we have a good year, you ask?
I don't recall asking.
I'm glad you did, because darn tootin' labor had an outstanding year in 1945. How so, you ask?
I didn't even see Lou's lips move.
We built over 6 miles of ships at Butler and Globe shipyards without any labor hitches. No work stoppages, nothing but good relations between the unions and management. Why, you ask? I'll tell you that it stands as a monument to labor and management in this community. And what else, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. The appointment of Louis Schwellenbach as new Secretary of Labor is more good news for the working man and woman. You know, Mr. Schwellenbach's mother lives here, and he used to live here. We even had a Schwellenbach Day last July. The boys worked like beavers to make it a good time.
I remember. It was a swell day.
The railroad workers also work like beavers, putting out a superhuman effort.
Mixed metaphor alert.
What's that you say?
It's either work like beavers putting out a super beaver effort, or work like people and put out a superhuman effort.
Oh, right. I like the beavers thing better. But those railroad fellas, what did they do, you ask? I'll tell you. They hauled record loads of iron ore, coal, grain, and troops. Everything Uncle Sam needed to win this war. Many worked 16 hours a day to see the job through.
Thank you, labor editor Jay Fisher.
You know what, Lou Martin and Jack McKenna?
Depends on the question.
Things are going well now in this great country of ours. But the Wall Street Journal, you know I read that whenever I can, says the cost of cigarettes is going to drop. There's a big glut of fags since the war ended. Now, why can't they manage it so things we really need, like meat and stuff, are plentiful? Know what I'm saying?
All right, then. Thank you, Mr. Jay Fisher.
And another thing. You know who made the most money in the whole U.S. of A this year?
Lou Martin?
It was another Lou. Louis B. Mayer, the guy who makes movies and runs MGM. He made $908,000. And you know who made the second most, huh? Do you?
We could use these questions for Stump the Listener.
General Motors President Charles Wilson. He pulled down $459,000 last year. And that company isn't budging on union talks because the fellas want a 30-cent an hour raise. And you know what else? The topper in all of this?
Lose all ears.
A teacher who risked life and limb during a war and is coming back to teach in Superior will make less than $2,000 next year. How wacky is that?
And I bet Louis B. Mayer and Charles Wilson don't work like superhuman beavers.
Once again, thanks. Your Superior Evening Telegram labor editor, Jay Fisher. Jack.
Whew. Hey, it was fun. Well, now back to our top 10 from the 1945 hit parade. This is the 7th biggest song of the year, folks. Harry James and his orchestra with Helen Forrest and I Don't Want to Walk Without You, Baby, on Martin and McKenna Working Like Beavers show. James, folks, with Helen Forrest on station KUWS. Now it's Lou's favorite time of the show, Stump the Listener.
Why is it that no one's stumped by our questions? It's more like Trump the announcer.
I'll take the fourth caller at 1790. The question is, what is an angstrom? Again, what is an angstrom? I'll take caller 4. Meanwhile, the labor guy says he has a couple of New Year's resolutions to share with us.
You betcha, Jack McKenna. As a member of organized labor, I wish to publicly state 1946 resolutions for labor people. 1. We hereby resolve to strive to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. 2. We hereby resolve to keep myself in the best physical condition and will be temperate in all of my habits. 3. we hereby resolve to buy union-made goods for myself and my family.
Any callers yet?
Not a one.
Four. We hereby resolve that I will observe all traffic regulation.
That last one doesn't sound like a labor kind of resolution.
That's for Lars Larson down at the shop. He's a terrible driver. Almost killed me a couple of times this year.
Still no phone calls.
Apparently you've succeeded in stumping the listener.
A little angst over angstrom, I guess. One last chance, folks. What's an angstrom? The answer coming up right after the number six song from the 1945 hit parade. Here's Johnny Mercer, and on the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe on the Martin and McKenna New Year's Eve show.
Whistle down the line. I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Here she comes. Ooh, hey Jim, you better get the rig. She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
All aboard! All aboard!
Let her rip, let her rip, Mr. Engineer. Gotta go far away from here. While the man at the fire shovels on the coal, stick your head out the cab, watch the drivers roll, see the towns and the roads go whizzing by. Fare thee well, Laramie, Albuquerque, hi. Yes, sirree, here we are going all the way.
Watch the quit till we hit California.
It's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell.
All the way from Philadelphia,
on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Johnny Mercer, and on the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe, on station KUWS. Man, I'm disappointed. I love Stump the Listener.
Of course, we need listeners to play Stump the Listener.
You mean no one's listening tonight? Well, maybe they didn't like your Hollywood Review thingamabob.
There's nothing wrong with my Hollywood Review. Thank you.
All right, folks, let's try another question. How many refugees found haven in Switzerland during the war? Again, how many refugees found haven in Switzerland?
I'll just hit some historic highlights from 1945 while we wait.
I'll take the first caller. Any caller. Hi, Ray. Will you watch the phones, please?
We'll do that, Jake.
Rapid Ray will be in with the sports folks, and you'll get a chance to talk to him as he answers the phones.
January 1st, Americans counterattacked the German bulge in Belgium and Luxembourg. Hitler breaks a six-month silence and boasts of millions of new soldiers and artillery.
Boy, that seemed like a long, long time ago.
At least 3 years ago.
But it was just a year ago.
My, my, my.
February the 12th, the Yalta Big Three Conference outlines the occupation of Europe after the war. February the 19th, Marines land on Iwo Jima, 750 miles from Japan.
Why, and that seems like longer than 10 months ago.
Seems more like 2 years and 5 months ago.
April the 12th, President Roosevelt dies of a cerebral hemorrhage at the Little White House in Warm Springs, Georgia. April the 29th, the Allies enter Munich and Milan. Mussolini is captured.
Hard to believe. That was only 7 months ago.
It feels like it was 2 years and 1 month ago.
At least.
If we could dispense with the time and the space continuum for the next minute, if you please. May 1st, Hamburg Radio reports Hitler died fighting Bolsheviks. May the 7th, the war ends in Europe when Germany surrenders.
Still, nobody called yet.
Maybe they're enthralled by Lou's history lesson.
I doubt it. It's New Year's Eve. I wouldn't be listening to us if I didn't have to.
July the 26th, the British Labour Party sweeps Clement Attlee into power and Winston Churchill out. August 6th, the atomic bomb is dropped on Hiroshima and Major Richard Vaughan is killed testing a P-80 jet. August 9th, another atomic bomb explodes over Nagasaki. And August the 14th, Japan surrenders. September 15th, War Secretary Stimson resigns. Patterson succeeds him. September 30th, standard wartime ends. And one more important date, September the 13th, Lieutenant Colonel James Devereaux is found alive in a Japanese prison camp. He was the commander of the Marines at Wake Island.
Boy, that was great news. So, anything, Jack?
Oofta. You'd think somebody would take a crack at it. How many refugees found haven in Switzerland during the war? I feel so alone. A fitting number, number 5 on the 1945 hit parade. This is Dick Hames and Helen Forrest. And long ago and far away on the Martin and McKenna Show.
That all I longed for long ago.
Dick Hames, who sounds a lot like me, and Helen Forrest singing Long Ago and Far Away on station KUWS. Well, Rapid Ray Paulson is in next for the New Year's sporting shows. Still no calls, Ray?
Nope. Not a one, Jake Hames.
That's all Lou's fault.
It isn't my fault.
Hey there, sporting fans. Baseball scraped the bottom of the manpower barrel in 1945. But all clubs were equally bad, so things were pretty competitive. Right up to the 7-game World Series that saw the Detroit Tigers edge those Cubs of Chicago. Ah, heck. The Cubs will get them next year. They're due. But even the champ Tigers will get a major overhaul next year as returning servicemen head back to the diamond. Among the returning players from this year, slugger Hank Greenberg and pitchers Paul Trout and Hal Newhouser. But some will tell you that war and peace made 1945 the best year in sports history. Fans burdened with fat wartime wages couldn't spend it on non-existent steaks, shoes, cars, appliances, or even nylons. So they stormed sports arenas and racetracks and smashed to smithereens box office and betting records. Adding to the astonishment, no sports year ever started with a bleaker outlook. Horse racing was banned, travel restrictions almost insurmountable, and manpower reduced to the lame and, as ball players viewed it, umpires to the blind. Boxing had a standout year without a standout fighter. Uncle Mike Jacobs' store-bought teeth were outclicked by the turnstiles at Madison Square Garden, which grossed more than $2 million in 1945. With the finesse of a bull in a china shop, Rocky Graziano twice drew more than $100,000 at the gate. A new czar was elevated. Senator Happy Chandler took over for the late Kennesaw Mountain Landis as baseball commissioner. Larry McPhail bought the New York Yankees and their chain for $2.8 million. In professional football, the Cleveland Rams, led by rookie Bob Waterfield, lost just one game. And aided by a freakish prank by Lady Luck, a Sammy Baugh pass from behind his own goal line, striking the crossbar, edged the Washington Redskins for the National League Championship. And boxing heavyweight champ Joe Louis didn't defend his title this year. But the Brown Bomber says he'll start training in March for an upcoming bout with Billy Kahn. That's the year in sports, Jake. And remember, everyone loves a good sport.
Thanks, Ray.
Still no calls?
Nope.
Go figure.
Let's hear the fourth biggest song in the 1945 hit parade, if anyone's listening. This is Dinah Shore and Shoe Fly Pie on the Martin and McKenna finale.
And daddy makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say holly, shoe fly pie, an apple pan. Daddy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoe fly pie, an apple pan. Daddy makes the sun come out when heavens are cloudy. Shoe fly pie, an apple pan. Daddy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you bake, Mama, I don't want cake, Mama, for my sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoe fly pie, an apple pie, and Daddy makes your eyes light up, your tummy say howdy, shoe fly pie, an apple pie, and Daddy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoe fly pie,
an apple pan. Dotty makes the sun come out when heaven's dark. Dotty, shoot, fly, fly, an apple pan. Dotty, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you start to bake, I don't want no cake. Mama, mama, for my sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoo-shoo fly pie. An apple pan, Dotty, makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say, Dotty, shoot fly pie. An apple pan, Dotty, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff.
Dinah Shore and her ever-loving hit, Shoe Fly Pie and Apple Pan Dowdy on station KUWS.
You really think nobody's listening?
I think it's so painful for people to know their beloved radio show may be over. They tuned us out.
That's hard to believe in so many ways.
No one's listening. At least no one with a telephone.
Who'd have thunk it?
I don't like Guy Lombardo. And I swiped Jimmy Swanson's pencil in sixth grade.
And why did we say that?
Hey, if no one's listening, we can say stuff we've wanted to say for years. It doesn't matter. Have a go at it, old buddy.
Not a single listener, eh?
Now's your chance.
Well, here goes. I don't like the city manager form of government. I prefer the mayoral form. There, I said it.
Lou Martin goes out on a limb. Way out.
All right, I've got one even better.
Look out, world.
It's about Harriet.
I think I've waited my whole adult life for this moment.
I want to ask Harriet...
Hey, better stop with the true confessions already.
You were listening?
Of course I was listening. You're on the radio. People listen to the radio. Sheesh. Lou, of all people, to get roped into one of Jack's fantasies.
But no one was calling to win Stump the Listener.
Check your phones. The line's busy. I tried and tried and tried, and it was always busy.
Oops. Look at this. My phone is off the hook.
Which puts us on the hook.
I'll say. Jimmy Swanson's going to want his pencil back.
Let me introduce Mr. George G. Newton of the George G. Newton Realty. Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah, Happy New Year yourself. I came over here to find out what all this stuff and nonsense is about you two quitting. You can't do that. I mean, you got us through the Roaring Twenties, through Prohibition, the Great Depression, and now World War II. You can't leave us. You guys are an institution.
Sorry, Georgie. The deal's sealed. Especially now that Lou admitted to hating the city manager.
I didn't say I hate the city manager. How about you and Guy Lombardo? You don't want to perturb his Royal Canadian.
Fellas, can we talk, huh? What's this about you quitting?
It's from a dream that Jack had.
Hey, Georgie, got any deals on good places to hide?
Don't try to change the subject on me. No, siree, I'm staying on topic here. And that's your future in radio.
I heard that the housing shortage is a bunch of bunk.
Bunk? Bunk? My, oh, my, let me tell you something. I have a list of people waiting for my rentals. A list. I mean, it's bad all over. Homes especially. You know, if it's some enterprising realtors pay undertakers $50 to tip them off when the Grim Reaper makes possible a vacancy. But you're not going to sidetrack old one-track mind Newton. What's the deal with your departure?
A little help, Lou.
Okay, George. I don't believe you insurance guys are telling the truth when you say we'd better buy car insurance.
Shocked. I'm simply shocked and mortified. And from a newsman, no less.
Thanks, pal.
I may have overplayed my hand.
Every motorist had better know that starting tomorrow, state law requires drivers to be financially responsible for any damage caused in a wreck. Now, that's the law. I've got some good car insurance, good coverage, the whole deal for about just $27 a year. Now you can afford it. In fact, you can't afford not to get this policy, because if you can't pay for an accident, you're going to lose your license under the new state law, fellas.
Thank you for setting me straight.
Good old Georgie. Now back to the top hits of 1945, folks. Here's the number 3 song of the year. This is Johnny Mercer and Personality on the Martin and McKenna Getting Out of Town New Year's Eve show.
When Madam Pompadour was on a ballroom floor, said all the gentlemen, obviously, the madam has the cutest personality. And think of all the books about Du Barry's looks. What was it made of? The toast of Paris. She had a well-developed personality.
What did Romeo see in Juliet, or Pierrot in Pierrette, or Jupiter in Juno?
You know. And when Salome danced and had the boys entranced, no doubt it must have been easy to see that she knew how to use her personality.
Unless she's got a perfect personality. A girl can get somewhere in spite of stringy hair, or even just a bit bored at the knees, if she can show a faultless personality.
Why are certain girls offered certain things, like sable coats and wedding rings, by men who wear their spats right?
That's right. So don't you say I'm smart and have the kindest heart. Oh, what a wonderful sister I'd be.
Just tell me how you like my
rough personality.
Baby, you've got the cutest
personality.
That's the third biggest song of 1945, Johnny Mercer and Personality on station KUWS.
Don't look now, but there's a big crowd of people headed our way.
Do they have a rope or tar and feathers?
Stop feeling guilty. We didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, yes, we did. I didn't give away the free dinner for two at Club Superior on Stump the Listener.
Barge in here like this. This is engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio speaking. Do not crowd into the studio. We have our limits.
Yeah, well, get out of my way, Skinny.
Oh, goodness me.
Ethan Begora.
Holy smokers, we got a party here.
Yeah, but better be a good one. I'm missing out on the huge, and I say huge, New Year's Eve bash at the Agricultural Center.
Gentlemen, I expect you to act courteously in these crowded conditions. There'll be no accidental bumpings and brushing against Miss Ruthie. That includes you, Buster.
Heavens to Betsy, beg your pardon?
Whoa, what's going on?
That was Bishop William O'Connor.
Call me Father Bill.
Just because you're a man of the cloth doesn't mean you can take liberties with me.
Oh, gracious me, no.
That's Miss Ruthie. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a late now.
It doesn't matter.
We ain't going back. Yeah.
Here's Colonel Raffaele.
Yes, my, it's teeming in here. Yes.
Museum curator Gerald Stowe.
Yes, reminds me of New Year's revelry at the Tsar's castle.
Let's see, we also have Engineer Joe and of course, Harriet and Georgie.
Hey, Colonel, you got your car insurance yet?
Get away from me, man.
Who are you talking to, Bob?
Not you, Skinny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Look,
This guy's trying to sell me insurance.
Hey, that wouldn't be car insurance, would it?
Oh, come this way, my friend. Let me fill you in.
There's another pigeon about to get clipped.
I see Axel Fennel. Here's a Red Cross lady, Maud Fisk.
Where's the champagne? Don't tell me no one brought some bubbly.
And?
I got something better, lady. My special elixir.
And Douglas County Farm Agent Claude Ebeling.
That's Bertie. Bertie is short for Claude.
Yes, that makes no sense.
You know, that's just playing annoying, buddy.
Yes. Oh, you mean me?
Everything's pretty annoying right now. McMartin, McGorkle, what's going on here?
All right, people, let's have some order.
Yes.
I say, let's have some elixir.
Hey! Yeah.
The crowd's getting kind of rowdy.
Elixir.
Nothing like music to soothe the savage soul, I say. Here's our second biggest song from the 1945 hit parade. Especially for you returning GIs. This is noisy in here, isn't it? And this is Harry James and Pretty Kitty Callan. And it's been a long time, long time on the Martin and McKenna finale New Year's tune. Oh, yeah. James and Pretty Kitty Callan on station KUWS.
All right, I've got things organized here, but
We want some answers.
Yeah.
Yes, a response, please.
It's high time you boys explain yourselves about this quitting business.
I'm a little hesitant.
You're a little of a lot of things, McMartin, and a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, come clean. If you two go, what happens to me?
And me, Rapid Ray, won't be the same without you guys.
You see, my sons, not everyone is as lucky as you and I to find out how much they're loved and appreciated.
Yeah, nix the love thing. But yeah, I've kind of, well, you know, grown at least tolerant of you two. I'm beginning to be able to stand you two guys.
Hey, hey, let's not get mushy here.
Sheesh. It really is a wonderful life.
But why are you two leaving?
It'll sound crazy.
What a surprise.
Hey, good elixir, Axel.
Jack has SAP.
Goodness.
Yes. Is it contagious?
It isn't contagious. There's no such disease.
It's in his head.
You mean there's something up there after all?
You must mean ESP.
No, SAP. He has sensory audio programs in his head.
He's always humming and whistling.
I hate hummers, and I hate whistlers.
It's some kind of a gift. He can see the future of music. He dreamed of the big band era, kicking out the sweet bands in the 30s. And before that, he saw the Tin Pan Alley craze of the 20s on its way out, too.
How?
I dream it. I have it right here in my noodle. It's a gift. Just like your gift is to have a good heart. And Lou's gift is to, well, to, well, read the news.
Well, nice of you to remember what I do.
Anyway, I dreamed of the next change in music. And that music is downright scary.
That's what I think of the jazzy stuff you play that stinks up our radios now.
Yes, for me it was the gay 90s music. But after a while, I got to like it.
You won't like this. It goes something like this.
I think Jackie's off his noodle.
Yes.
I'd say.
Look, I'll prove it to you. Lou's got a special report from Edward R. Murrow right after we play the top song of 1945. Okay? We're agreed then. The number one song of 1945. Here's Les Brown and his band of great renown with the vocals of Doris Day on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Seven, that's the time we leave at seven. heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take that sentimental journey. Sentimental journey home. Sentimental journey.
Les Brown and his band of renown with the singing of Doris Day and Sentimental Journey on station KUWS.
As we approach the midnight hour and the end of perhaps the most historic year in the world's annals, we have this report from veteran CBS war correspondent Edward R. Murrow.
At the historic instant when the first atomic bomb seemed to charge out of the bowels of the earth, Professor George Kistakovsky remarked, "I am sure that on doomsday, in the last millisecond, the last man on earth will see what we have just seen." In direct contrast, William Lawrence of the New York Times felt as though he were present at the dawn of creation when the Lord said, "Let there be light." If the universe is as many millions years old as we think it is, our crowded little era of 13 years is but an instant of yesterday when it is past. 1933's unemployment, September at Munich, that June 10th at Lydigi, December 7th at Pearl Harbor, 9:15 over Hiroshima, were all part of the identical moment. The one question remaining then, was it 23:59 o'clock or 0001? Was there to be still another cycle of affliction, appeasement, and annihilation? Or had we walked through midnight towards the dawn without knowing it?
Oh, my goodness!
Something for us all to ponder now, and my friends forever.
Yes, forever is a long time.
Well, who's going to rock me to sleep tonight after hearing from that Dr. Piece of Pisky? Anyway, are we before or after the midnight stuff? I don't like thinking disturbing things that, you know, the colonel, you can't sleep.
Yes, do what I do.
Say, what happened to your skin? You've got no color.
Yes, thank you.
So, what do you do when you can't sleep?
I don't sleep. I go through boxes in the museum's basement.
Hey, I've got an announcement, everyone.
Uh-oh.
All right, now quiet! Quiet!
Lou and I decided that we can't quit now.
If that new music comes along, we may pull up stakes. But for now, we're sticking.
Yay! Yay!
We've been through a lot together, folks, all of us. And you know what? You've all made it fun and very, very special.
And different.
So we'll be back next year, the good Lord willing, and always has been.
So happy New Year!
Goodbye, all.
I'm going to get back to that dream again, folks.
Amazing. Simply amazing. Jack's asleep, just like that.
As long as I've known him, he's been able to do that.
Amazing.
You should see his double-jointed big toe. Now, that's amazing.
Somebody pinch me if I'm awake. But be gentle. No pinching? Okay, I'm dreaming. It's that new music thing. I hate hearing the future. It's tough to be so gifted. They call
deep
that
in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, the stone log cabin made of earth and wood.
Dip, 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 dip.
Sha-la-la, sha-la-la, but sha-la-la.
I don't even know what language that is.
After breakfast every day, you know the one I drive my way. I never fail to say.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945.
an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Al Katz, John Munson, John Munsell, Ray Paulson, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.